Tom and Noel Crow joining us once again on The Morning Blend, providing our weekly American Catholic history lesson. More compelling stories of Catholic Americans contributing to our nation by virtue of their faith. And of course, this new month of May set aside for our Blessed Mother Mary. So today, why not kick it off with Mother Mary? Good morning, you two. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Good
morning.
So which Mother Mary are we talking about specifically?
Okay, so we're talking about Mary Magdalene Bentivoglio. As the name suggests, she was Italian. And like the story of Father Leo and other stories we've talked about, we had the benefit of her presence in the United States because of the Wars of Unification in Italy. But to back up, she wasn't actually born Mary. She was born Annetta or Annette. Or Anna, some differences of exactly what version it was. And she was the 12th of 15 children born to Count Domenico Bentivoglio and his wife Angela, who was actually from the French nobility. And she was born in 1834 in Italy. Her father was a member of the papal army, an officer, eventually becoming a general. And at some point, a little bit later in Anna's life, he became the governor of Rome. He was connected to, as a count and as a member of the papal army, connected to the Pope. When Anna's parents both died by the time she was in her mid-20s, the Pope himself took over responsibility for her and her two other unmarried sisters. And
seems normal.
Yeah, right? And what do you do when you have, you're the Pope and you have three unmarried women that you have to care for? Well, you put them in a convent.
Naturally.
Right. Sounds medieval to us now, but at the time, unmarried women couldn't just be living in a home together. They had to have a man who was, taking care of them and giving them respectability, or they had to be in a convent. So that's where they went. Anna was very vivacious and very stubborn and tended to mischief, but she discovered that she had a religious vocation at her time in the convent and decided that she wanted to do something even more severe than where they were at. So she and her sisters went and actually joined a Port Clare monastery.
Yeah, and the Port Clares, they're a Franciscan order. They're the second order of Franciscans. The first order, of course, are the order of friars, the men. The Port Clares are, unlike the men who are, the men are mendicants. They travel around. The Port Clares are contemplatives. They stay behind the grill and they pray. That's what they do. Their work for the church is prayer. And they live very austere lives. If you've ever been to a Port Clare monastery, first of all, you can't get behind the grill. But even what you see, if you go to visit them, what you see is very simple. It's very austere. So this is what she wanted. She wanted that from the heights of nobility, essentially. She wanted this austerity.
Right. So they went, so they go and they entered the monastery at San Lorenzo and lived there. She got her habit and her new name, Mary Magdalene Bentivoglio, in 1865. So she was 31 years old and she lived there for 10 years,
yeah,
as a Port Clare nun. But then two things kind of came together at the same time. So as we mentioned at the beginning, we have these wars to unite Italy. During these wars, as in other places, religious were sometimes being kicked out of their convents, kicked out of their monasteries. Those buildings and lands were being taken. And so there was a lot of uncertainty as to what would happen with their convent. At the same time, there was an American who came, Mother Ignatius Hayes, and she had started a Franciscan order in Minnesota. And now these were not second order, they were third order. And so this is where you get those Franciscan sisters who actually do go out into the world and who do teach and do things. We have these third order Franciscans here at Franciscan University and also our TOR sisters who are here as well. So this is what we had. And she went to Italy to recruit more women to come for her order. Interestingly, though, she went and asked for the contemplative sisters to come. And they thought that she wanted to establish a contemplative convent next to her active sisters to pray for their work. So this was, I guess, what the thought was. So being contemplative, in order to leave the monastery, they actually needed permission of the Pope. So they went and Pope Pius IX gave permission for them to leave. He actually picked Mother Mary Bentivoglio and her sister, Sister Costanza, to go and be the sisters to go to America. So thus began a whole interesting series of events that we won't get into in detail here for time. But Mary Bentivoglio and her sister Costanza ended up in New York. At which time they became a little suspicious that Mother Ignatius Hayes wanted them to teach or right. establish a school, which is not what poor Clares do.
No, they pray.
So they ended up sort of stranded without any money, without knowing English in New York. And they approached Cardinal McCloskey, who was the Cardinal Archbishop of New York, about starting a Poor Clare convent there. And he said, essentially, that doesn't fit with the American way of life.
Yeah, this has always been baffling to me. They weren't the only ones to be told this, but a bishop said to these women who want to do nothing but pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament, to adore our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, to intercede for the land where they live, we don't want that here. I just don't get that.
Wow.
But that is what Cardinal McCloskey told them. So then they moved on to Philadelphia.
They went to Cincinnati. They were getting the same response. So they're probably staying in New York, but writing letters, trying to get a bishop to accept them. They eventually, through the intercession of a faithful Catholic lady, get an invitation from the Bishop of New Orleans. So they head down to New Orleans and they establish a convent there. They actually very quickly get a couple of postulants, and they're there. They think, great, we're here. Well, the minister provincial of the Franciscans comes to them and says, you're too far away from where all the other Franciscans are in the United States. You should go someplace else. Like, why don't you try Cleveland? And they open a new convent in a cigar factory in Cleveland with their postulants. Okay, now they're settled. The minister provincial says, hey, there's this group of German nuns fleeing the Kulturkampf coming over, and they're going to live with you. Not only are they going to live with you, but they're going to use their rule, their Poor Clare rule, which is a little bit looser than the one you've been doing. They're going to use that, and they're going to speak German. German, and you're going to speak German in your convent.
So you have to become nuns like they are instead of like you are.
Right.
Ugh.
And so Mother Mary Magdalene Bentivoglio and her sister Costanza, say, no, we don't really want to do that. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. So they leave. Well, the minister provincial says, well, okay, become German or leave. So they're like, all right, we're leaving. So
bye.
They leave. And they go off, and they decide at that point to kind of split up. One will go east and one will go west, and they'll see what they can find and where they could find to finally settle. And eventually Sister Costanza ends up by meeting John Creighton on a train headed towards Omaha. And Creighton says, I'll finance you. You can come to Omaha. I will build you a convent in Omaha. So they go to Omaha. They do build a convent there. The bishop agrees. They build a convent. Gets blown down a couple of times by tornadoes, but eventually on their third try, they have a convent in 1881. So their convent is established, and by papal bull, the Pope, you know, it recognizes it in 1881. 4 years later, they have so many sisters in that convent that they decide to establish a new one going back to New Orleans. And so in 1885, they go back to New Orleans. They're there a couple of years, but they get postulants, and now they have a Poor Clare convent in New Orleans as well. So there's now two of them in the United States. Sister Costanza and Mary Bentivoglio, they go back to Omaha, and now, you know, seems like things are going really well. Well, there's a crazy nun, basically, at their convent, and she accuses the sisters of some very unsavory things, immorality, fiscal mismanagement, not respecting the bishop, of all of these things. And the sisters end up basically having a canonical trial. Three of them, actually. They have to leave the convent and live someplace else for a period of time, can't receive the sacraments, diocesan trials, even the Vatican gets involved. You know, everything does eventually exonerate them, but this is a whole period of, again, almost 2 years. Yeah, I said at the beginning, she was a bit feisty, you know, liked a little bit of mischief, you know, you can see. So I wanted to tell you a quote that she said, or she wrote. She said, all my life I have asked God for crosses, and now that he has sent them, why should I not be glad? Right.
Should so yeah.
In the middle of all of this, she maintained a sort of joy and calm. I didn't even kind of get to all the trials they had as they were setting up the convent, which is also the case. So they went and they established one more convent, and this convent was in Evansville, Indiana. And the reason why they ended up there was a relative of one of their nuns had some money and left them some money to be able to establish this. But it wasn't enough for like everything they needed. So while they had the land and building, they weren't able to have furniture.
Mm.
And oftentimes food beyond just bread and water. And again, showcasing her little bit of wit, Mother Mary Bentivoglio wrote, it is certain that on the one hand, we do not want to pamper anyone, but on the other hand, we do not want to kill anyone.
You got to strike that balance.
Right?
Wow. It's that spicy Italian inner coming out.
Yes.
She persevered through all of this, these hardships and these trials, establishing three Poor Clare monasteries in her lifetime. She died in 1905 at the age of 71 and was buried there in Evansville. In 1929, her cause for canonization was opened, and she is currently Venerable Mother Mary Magdalene Bentivoglio.
When she was exhumed, her body was found to be incorruptible.
Yes, and when she was exhumed as part of that process, actually twice, once in 1907 and again, in 1932, her body was found to be incorrupt. So currently there are about 20 Poor Clare monasteries in the United States that can trace their origin to her and her persistence in following what she believed God had sent her to do.
If people want to learn more about what you do and listen to more of these great stories, where can they find you?
We are at AmericanCatholicHistory.org.